You Keep Hope Alive. I love that song. That is a John Redrick and Mediza song. And I would normally say good morning, everybody. We had some internet issues wee hours of the morning, but we're doing a special evening Billy Graham podcast on our podcasting network. Hello, everybody. CA back on the airways. Thank you for being patient with me. So much has been going on. I really won't go into fine line details. I would encourage you, however, if you want to, you can go to my Facebook page, search up the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Guys, follow me for free. When you follow me on there, you know, check you like me and everything. I have an audio that I did on my live cast. Sometimes I'll do live cast on there. And it will show and give you descriptions of kind of what I've been going through on this journey. I would like to thank everybody, if you have watched the live cast and been following and keeping up to date with me. I really won't discuss too much on the air. Today is really our Happy Dance Friday, and then we're going to be, got other things going on that I'll be discussing here in a little bit. But I want to thank you guys, everybody, for your prayers and everything. You know, it really means a lot. So beyond all that, you know, I just want to let you know how special you are. And if you want to meet, you know, on the air and even on our Christian podcasting network, if you want to, you can always text a prayer. Go to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. When you do that, when you click on that, click on station information, and then you can send me your prayer requests or question comments, or hey, I got saved. You may get saved on today's Billy Graham Network that we're going to be doing. You know, we are one of the major networks that will carry Billy Graham and Billy Graham Fridays. We want to honor that for the late Dr. Graham. So we'll be discussing that here in a little bit. And again, I'm glad to be back on the air. I'm doing a special evening edition here at Faith Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. The weather, tongue twister, the weather was very turbulent in downtown Fort Worth. They had a lot of high winds all over. We've had hail damage all over in different parts of the network. And it's hard, especially when you are running an internet-based, you know, on a lot of things. Of course, iHeartRadio is who we're syndicated on. We're syndicated on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Amazon, and Alexa, I should say. So, wait a minute, I'm getting Alexa to talk to me there. I'll have to choose my words wisely with her, with the little machine, because sometimes it likes to talk. Okay, well, let's talk about what's going to happen on our show today. I'm just glad to be back on the air. I didn't know how long we had to temporarily suspend our radio network, and with me on there, of course, there's other DJs, and then, you know, my Christian podcasting network that iHeartRadio is so kind to let me do, because we want to get the Word of God out. All right, we're going to be doing today, Billy Graham Fridays. We're going to go back to 1983, another one. He did another segment on his crusade back in 1983. Billy Graham Fridays. Today's segment, guys, you're going to love it. He's going to talk about there is a hell. Okay, there is a hell. We all know that. Seems like we're living it from time to time, but that's just a small taste of what it's really going to be like, and he'll help you through this. Also, we got Happy Dance Friday. We're going to be playing a little bit of Happy Dance by Davey Bowie just to kind of celebrate bringing on this Friday evening for you guys. Got another one or two Christian songs. We got Deacon Paul Brown. He's here again today. He wanted to stop by this evening here at Faith Studio One in downtown Fort Worth. And you know what? We're going to play the John Waller Coffee song. I normally play it on Monday. I mean, on Fridays. There we go. See, I got to get back in the swing of it. I normally play it on Fridays, but, you know, we had some networking trouble this morning. All right, you know what? I think I am ready. If you guys are ready. Are y'all ready? Are you really, really ready? I know your Friday is probably almost over if it hadn't already been over. What do you say? Let's play this song right here. There we go. There is nothing wrong with a little bit of James Brown, right? Everybody loves James Brown. And you know what? I'm going to be, every so often on these happy dance, we're going to be playing like different songs. Get those happy dancers. A lot to be thankful for, a lot to be praising God for. I know I've had an amazing week. I'm going to get my happy dance song on. I'm going to give it to David Bowie and let him do it a little bit, okay? What do you say? All right, here we go. Let's do a little bit of happy dance. Come on, guys. Come on. Woo! Friday. There we go. I won't play all of it, just a little bit of a mini happy dance. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know what? I do have other dance songs that we can come up with. Just bear with me, okay? It's been a very long 2 weeks. And again, I normally would say good morning. And I'll go ahead and say it anyways. Good morning, all. Good evening, all. This is CA On Air Personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Biblical teacher, encourager, clergy, independent clergy. I'm here to love, serve. I'm here to be an encourager for you guys. I'll tell you what, before we bring out the deacon, I'm ready for some John Waller coffee. How long has it been? Well, it was early for me, 3:30 in the morning today, before I went to my main job. But how long has it been since you had a good heaping bowl of a cup of coffee? Okay, maybe before you go to bed? No, not don't do that, but later on. All right, stand by. John Waller coffee song coming up. All right, we're ready for a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning, evening, afternoon, whatever it may be. John Waller, kick it off.
That sweet aroma, I'm bold and beautiful. I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning, something wonderful is about to make my day.
I'll take it, a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning. You can only hear it exclusively on my radio station, Christian Podcast. That's right. The Morning Brew Christian Podcast with CA. That's right, on iHeartRadio. All right. Well, he's here. He's ready. He wants to talk. He's visiting for a little bit. Let's get ready to call him out, the deacon. Stand by, Deacon Paul Brown, Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're going to bring him on. Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Stand by for the deacon. There we go. I think that's about enough for him. Let's go ahead and give him a cheer, if I can reach my cheer button. All right, let's do the usual. Give him a round of applause. How about some morning and evening crow? All right, quit laughing at the deke. Oh, we don't have Charlie to whistle no more. I don't know who's doing that whistling noise. Somebody is. Yeah, okay. All right, how about a drum roll for him? Fanfare. Countdown for the Deke.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There we go. Your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Hello, Mr. Deacon.
Well, hello there, CA, and it is so lovely to have the daylight savings time. I just wanted to come by shortly because I know today is Billy Graham Fridays.
That's right. We got Billy Graham Fridays there, Deacon. And today's topic is going to be, there is a hell. So, yes, indeed. But, yeah, we got a great Billy Graham coming up from his 1983 crusade. We're going to play a song before all that happens. But I just want to tell you. So, you set your clock. You said you set it back twice?
See, hey, you know what happened? Sometimes when you got so much on your mind, especially when there's honeydew projects, the deacon set his clock back two times.
So, deacon, let me understand. You set your clock back two times when you're supposed to forward only once.
Yeah, I know, and Miss Mildred got mad because we were late for church. And yours truly did not get to lead the choir. Mr. Harold Tusley was the one that had to do the choir. And then he also had to step up to the plate and be the deacon because we have what's called alternate deacons.
Okay, now wait a minute. Alternate deacons, I've never heard of that before.
C.A., let me tell you a little bit of story about how the Baptist Church of this particular Castleberry Baptist Church, how we do it now. We have what's called alternate deacon, which means if a certain deacon ain't there, then another deacon will step up to the plate.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Well, that's understandable, but my friend, you need to set that clock back to the normal spot it's supposed to be at.
I know, I learned.
Oh, it sounds like you got yourself a cough there.
Just a little bit of an allergy cough. But you know what? I learned to next time wake up and move it forward or spring it back. Spring forward, I should say. Fall back. There we go. Yeah.
Well, it's a learning experience. You know what? How's everything else going? How's the family?
CA family's doing well and everything's going good. Just a little tired. We're going to go head out back to Tyler in the morning. But I wanted to drop by the studio this evening and say hi to you.
Well, you know what? Thank you, Deacon. Thank you for telling me the story. And I hope you have a great day. We're going to go ahead and play one, Don't Lose Heart by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And you have a great day.
Well, you too. Bye, everybody. I hope to catch you next week.
All right, there we go. Here we go. Billy Graham Friday's coming up. Don't Lose Heart with Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mitchell
Temper. Night, praying hope comes with the morning light. Right now you're feeling like you've lost this fight, and fear is screaming out your name. So you say, God help me. You wonder if he's even listening. Truth is, I wonder the very same thing. So you don't have to feel ashamed. Until you all that I've learned to be true.
I love that song. That is, you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Sometime on my podcast show, I'm going to play the regular one with the original one with Stephen Curtis Chapman singing it. And this one, which is one of my very favorite, Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mitchell Tempe team up together to sing this song. All right, what do you say? We've been waiting for this, haven't we? We're going to go back to 1983, just a flashback, and we're going to have the one and only... And you can only hear it on exclusively on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Special evening edition tonight, by the way. There is a hill. Here we go. Billy Graham.
I'm going to ask that we bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father and our God, we pray that in this period of crisis in our world, that the Holy Spirit will use it to remind us of our need of Thee and our relationship with Thee. And we pray that tonight, if our relationship is not right, that we'll make it right through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came to die on the cross because He loved us. For we ask it in His name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak on a very difficult subject, and one that I could talk on, I suppose, all evening before I wouldn't exhaust it, of course, in a long time. But I want to speak on the subject of hell. Three kinds of hell that I believe are taught in Scripture and experienced in life and eternity. But to you that are watching by television, I'd like to remind you that we're in Sacramento, California, the capital of California, if you don't know that. And this is a gorgeous place that we're in. We're in the exhibition grounds of, I don't really know how to describe it. It looks like, as far as I can see, a people this way, and as far as I can see a people, not quite as far as I can see this way, a people. I wish you could be here. It's a gorgeous California night, something that we don't see very much of back east of this type of weather. Now, tonight, I want you to turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And beginning at verse 19, there's a story that Jesus told. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you're in torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, they would not, but if one came from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. Well, I'm up here tonight not to say go to hell, but rather go to heaven. And I'm urging you not to say I'll be damned, but instead I'll be saved. And this story, the word hell is used, translated hell in our authorized version, though it's actually Hades, because Hades was in two compartments, apparently. One was called paradise, and one was called the place of torment. And they could apparently see across the gulf between each other. And the word hell today is constantly used as a swear word. You hear it on television, you see it in the films, you see it in the writings of people, and you hear it at work, and you hear it in school. And I remember I was flying over the steel plants of Gary, Indiana many years ago in one of the old planes, and we were flying low, and a man sitting beside me said, it looks like hell, doesn't it? As he saw those flames coming up in that steel mill. I remember 2 years ago, or three, I think it was maybe longer than that, when the MGM fire took place. And we went over to minister to those people because they were being brought to the center in Las Vegas where we were holding a crusade. And I asked some of them, I said, what is it like at those top stories where the fire is? And they said, it's just like hell up there. And when Paramount Pictures had their fire here a couple of weeks ago, we were down in Los Angeles, and I heard one of them say, it's like hell. The fires were raging so. And I watched on television a few weeks ago the life of Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb. And he was just a young man when he was appointed by General Groves to head up the Manhattan Project and develop the atomic bomb. And he'd come out of a university here in California. And he looked little more than a teenager when he started. And then I remember the build-up. in that film, in his life, till the moment when they set off that first atomic test bomb in New Mexico in the White Sands. And someone said, "We have seen the beginning of hell." Now, this is an unpopular and controversial and misunderstood subject. The United States Catholic Magazine in the May issue of this year, 1983, polled Americans and came up with the figure 86% said they believed in the existence of hell. Can you imagine that? 86% of Americans believe there's a hell. You can never understand hell, though, until first you understand the great love, mercy, and grace of God. And it should never be preached by any preacher without tears. I've heard some preachers preach on hell as though they were glad there was a hell and glad that people were going there. But I'm not. I don't like to preach on it. I do it only because I'm commanded in Scripture to preach the Word. And it's against the backdrop of God's love and mercy and grace that I must preach it. You see, hell was not made for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But some have taken license in imagination and distorted the idea of future judgment. It causes some people to say that God is not a God of love. And they've distorted the biblical concept of the love of God. A lady said some time ago, "I hate the very thought of hell." So do I. And I also hate the sin that sends them there. I hate war. I hate the fact that people are starving in the world. But war is a reality in Lebanon and places like that. And starvation is a reality in our world, unfortunately. My hating it does not change the facts. And hating to die doesn't change the fact that I'm going to die. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Preach the word." And if I'm to be faithful to my calling as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I must include in that word what our Lord Jesus Christ taught on the subject of hell. One clergyman said if he used hell in the pulpit, the people would fire him. Well, I know that down in South Carolina, I came to a place some years ago in which they had 16 slow down signs and stop signs because so many people had been killed at that intersection. Now, is that right for the state of South Carolina to put those signs up and warn people? Is it right for me to warn you tonight what Jesus taught and what the Bible teaches from cover to cover? Is it wrong for a man to wave a lantern to stop people at a railroad crossing? Is it wrong to wave the flag and warn of coming judgment? I remember years ago we were in Mississippi and there's a stretch of highway and there came one of those terrible tornadoes and a bridge was washed out in the gush of water. And a man got out at night when he saw what had happened and he tried to wave the cars down with his wet handkerchief and a flashlight, and none of them would stop, and five of them went over and the occupants of the cars were killed. Now, Jesus cured a mentally ill person one time, the Gadarene, and a demon-possessed man, and the people asked Jesus to leave them alone. And he answered their prayers. He left them alone. You don't have to listen to this sermon tonight. You can say, "I don't want to hear about it. Leave me alone." And Jesus may answer your prayer and leave you alone. And if you are left alone by the Spirit of God, you can never find forgiveness of sin and you can never enter paradise. People do not want to be warned of judgment in hell. And you say it's none of my business. Well, suppose you were a drowning man and I have the gospel lifeboat and I'm not going to let you drown if I can help it. You're a starving man and I have the bread of life and I'll not leave you without some bread. You're a poison man full of the poison of sin and I have Christ's gospel antidote and I will not leave you to die. I will not leave you alone. You're in the dark and lost and I have the light of the gospel and I'll not leave you alone. You're in bondage, and I would speak the truth that would bring you to liberty. You're in sickness, and I would speak the truth that would bring you to health. You're on a broad road that leads to destruction, and I speak the truth that would get you transferred to the narrow road that leads to eternal life. You're on a wild, stormy sea, and I would speak the truth that would bring you to the harbor of safety. And some people say we're not really lost. The devil said that to Eve in the Garden of Eden. When God said you'll die if you eat of that fruit, of that forbidden tree, the devil came and whispered in her ear through the serpent and said, you will not surely die. Now that is called universalism. In other words, everybody is saved. They just don't know it, some people are saying. And we have a subtle form of universalism that's sweeping through even evangelical groups today, that we'll not surely die, that there's no such thing as hell. But I believe it, there is, according to the teachings of Scripture. I think it's intuitive. I think man all over the world believes that someday he's going to have to give an account, and he's going to have to suffer in some way for the disobedient life that he lived here. Conscience seems to teach it. There's a little red light that goes on in the soul when we do wrong. And there's a need, it seems to me, to separate the wicked from the righteous. I saw just the tail end of a little film last night called The Bunker. And it was the last days of Hitler. And I thought of all the millions of people that Hitler was responsible for destroying and killing in the most terrible ways. We have toured many of those camps, like Auschwitz and Tobinka and places like that, where people were, you cannot believe what you see there, how Jews and other people were murdered and killed. Now, do you think that we ought to let Hitler and people like Hitler in the same place that the saints of God are going to go? Like Augustine or Mother Teresa or any of the other famous people that really know Christ? What would happen if you allowed hogs in your living room? Suppose we allowed all these people into paradise. They'd soon turn it into hell. And the fear of judgment is also needed to restrain men from sin. Suppose you took away the police force of Sacramento. What would happen? Just the fact that you have policemen. The fact that you have policemen parading up and down the highway, you don't have to stop anybody. Just the fact you see the police car, you slow down to 55 right away. It's a discipline. And then human experience teaches it. Voltaire said, I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark, when he died. And how many experiences I could tell here just of my own knowledge of people who were screaming as they went out into eternity. And how many experiences I could tell of people who were going to heaven and the joy that was in their heart, the excitement in the room, and you were blessed by being there. And then Jesus constantly taught it. Nobody in Scripture talked about hell more than Jesus. He said, whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. He said in the 13th of Matthew, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:41, he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and to go to hell. He said it's better to go through life with just one eye, one hand, one leg than to go to hell with it all. And if you accept the teachings of Jesus, you are forced to accept that there is a place of judgment for those who reject him. Now you say, well, Billy, I just can't accept this fact. Well, you know, I got to thinking too. Suppose there's only a 10% chance that there's a hell. Is it worth taking it? Suppose you went out to the airport and you were going to go from here to Seattle or some such city or to Los Angeles, and they said there's only a 10% chance that, there's a 10% chance that it won't make it. The plane won't make it. Would you get on it? I wouldn't. And yet many of us are acting as though it does not exist, that there is no judgment, there is no accountability. The man in the story we read about, whether it's literal or figurative, I'm not going to discuss that tonight, and it does not do away with its teaching. This story was the spark that touched the revolution in the life of Albert Schweitzer. He concluded that Africa was a beggar lying at Europe's doorstep, so he founded the Labarina Hospital in West Africa. And if this is a symbolic passage, then its symbols are the shadows of realities. The story tells that there's a great gulf between paradise and the place of torment. If a person lives without God, he digs a chasm between himself and those who live for God. Two men, one building for hell and one building for heaven. The Bible teaches that there are at least three kinds of hell. First, there is hell in the heart. Thousands of people here tonight have hell in your heart. And that's where it all begins. Much of the world assumes that human nature is good, but the Bible teaches that it's basically evil. By nature, we are selfish, sinful, wayward, and lost. In sin did my mother conceive me, said David. We're all sinners, and we were born in sin. And then when we reach the age of accountability, maybe 7, 8, or 9, or 10 years of age, we chose to sin. Then we became sinners by practice. And we practice sin. Even if we have computers, we're using computers today for fraud and all sorts of things. And then all this thing out here where they're looking for marijuana plants out in the forest and everywhere where people are planting them. Everywhere you look and whatever investigating committee you appoint, you turn up some snakes. Because human nature's evil. Human nature's bad. And that's the reason it needs redemption. It needs transforming. It needs the new birth. And that's what Christ came to do. Hell in the heart. There's the hell of guilt. A man who wrote me some time ago who was cheating on his wife. He was living part-time with another woman in another city. And he said, I'm actually living in hell. He found himself caught. And he was hell. And the Bible teaches that there's a burning, death-dealing hell in the human heart. And the very people seem so good, wholesome, and splendid may be changed into vicious killers and maniacs overnight. I know a woman, a fine woman, beautiful woman. Her husband was one of the leaders of the community. And without hardly any provocation at all, while he was asleep, she took a pistol and shot him, killed him. She's in prison now. And we read about that every day in the paper. People, they say, that were good people, fine people, are doing all sorts of things that they never dreamed that they would be doing. So there's that in the heart, guilt. Then there's the hell of unrest. The Bible states the wicked are like the troubled sea. People this past summer, we saw in Europe, we went to Amsterdam for that great conference on itinerant evangelists, which I think was one of the greatest conferences held in the history of the Christian church. And yet we met many other people who were there just searching for something. They didn't know what. I saw Americans and people from Japan and everywhere else running as though their life depended on it. They didn't know where they were going or what they were doing. They were just going, trying to find some rest and peace. The Beatles, remember, they went to India to see if they could find something in the mystical religions of India that would bring peace to their troubled hearts. People are like an army of ants trying to escape from the destruction of their own anthill. They spend a great part of their savings trying to find some Shangri-La where there's peace. Augustine in the 4th century did this too. And he came to the conclusion that God has made us for himself, and the heart of man is restless till he finds his rest in him. Man is like the troubled sea. Have you ever watched the sea, how it keeps moving? And we're that way, without God. In one of our cities, there's a street called Shangri-La Street, but as you enter it, there's a sign that says a dead end. There is no Shangri-La. All Shangri-Las without Christ are dead ends and lead exactly no place. I read about a man who went to a Pacific island before World War II to find peace and escape the dangers of war. He thought war was building up and he was going to find peace and safety. It was Guadalcanal. And when you arrive at your Shangri-La, you may find one. When you arrive there, you're going to find your problems, your guilt, your sins will arrive with your luggage. You cannot leave it behind. But Jesus said, my peace I'll give unto you. Not as the world gives. The world cannot give you peace of heart. and forgiveness of sin and take the guilt away. But Christ can. By his death on the cross, he can forgive your sins. The guilt can be washed away, and his peace can be yours. Secondly, the Bible teaches that there's hell around us. Isaiah 14:9 has a very descriptive verse and a very mysterious verse and a very interesting verse when you study it. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell from beneath is moved. Read it in the Living Bible, the 14th chapter of Isaiah, the whole thing. And it's an interesting passage to read. There's hell in the home, hell in society. When a situation becomes intolerable, many people say, all hell is broken loose. If ever there was a time in human history when hell has been unleashed, it seems that it's now in our world and in the world in which you move and live. There's the hell of lust. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Someone asked me the other day what the word lust means. I'll talk a little about it tomorrow night to young people. But lust means not to just look at a woman or a man and admire them. It means that if you had the opportunity, you would commit immorality. In other words, you lust so much you would give in if you had the chance. And many people fantasize and they lust in their fantasies. The fury of sexual hell has been unleashed in our world. The commandments of God against impurity and unchastity are trampled underfoot by our generation. Our literature and entertainment are playing up sexual perversion. They're calling evil good and good evil. Isaiah said, hell from beneath is moved. It has been moved to earth. And a secular, godless world revels in its lusts. It rejects the gospel and takes lust. And this is the generation the Bible refers to when it says in 2 Thessalonians, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We seem to be in a kind of demonic trend. It seems to be out of control. It seems to be something we can do nothing about. It seems that some master hypnosis who makes us behave like puppets on a string, doing that which is wicked and sensual and depraved. And others are living in a hell of greed. The Bible teaches that as we approach the end of the age, that people more and more will be taken up with greed to get what we can get now, live for the now. And they want instant satisfaction, just like instant tea or all the instant things we see advertised on television. We want instant gratification. We want it now. And that's one of the problems that we face in the world. We see solutions on television done by a computer that quick, and we think that our whole lives can be done that way, that quick. And then there's the hell of hatred. This hell of hatred has erupted into wars and riots and all kinds of conflicts. Hell has been moved to earth. And then thirdly and lastly, there's the hell in the future. And the future hell is a projection of the hell that you have now in your heart, in your home, in our world. Except it goes on and on. Jesus spoke more about hell than any person in the Bible, as I said a moment ago, but he warned us to flee from it. It is the very fact of hell that makes the love of God so amazing and so glorious. The fact that it was made for the devil and his angels, and we listen to the devil and follow the devil and we do what the devil says, and yet God loves us so much that he devised a plan to save us so that we'll never have to spend one day in hell. His grace and his mercy is so thrilling. But for the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, every one of us would end up in hell. And hell need not be your final destination. You need not live in it upon this earth. It can be taken from your heart. It can be removed from your home, all by the grace of God. And I could tell you story after story of men and women who've come to Christ and the hell has been removed from their hearts and their lives. Now, what is the nature of hell? Well, many mysteries surrounding this subject. Essentially and basically, it is separation from God. We are separated from God by sin, and that continues out into eternity. And there are three words that Jesus used to describe hell. He used the word death. You see, God is life, and you're separated from the life of God. You're dead, spiritually dead, separated from God. And then he used the word outer darkness. God is light. We're separated from the light, so we live in darkness. And then he uses the word fire. And I've often wondered if that is a terrible fire within our hearts for God, for fellowship with God that can never be quenched. We've rejected God. We've turned our back on God. We can never know God. It indicates in this story that this man did not have a second chance. It indicates in this story that this man became very evangelistic. He wanted to reach his brothers. Think of it. He was in hell. And he wanted his brothers to be reached by somebody, to go to his home and warn his brothers not to come here. Do anything, but not, don't come here. And those people that have gone on before, that may be suffering the pangs of hell now out in eternity, would stand here tonight and warn you. Turn away. Repent of your sins. Receive Christ. Be sure of your relationship. Don't come to this place. It's the banishment from the presence of all that is joyous and good and righteous and happy. And the scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. You know, we prepare for everything except death. We prepare for education, business, careers, marriage, old age, but not for the moment of judgment. We take out every kind of insurance that we possibly can, and we worry about our old age pensions and Social Security and all the rest of it. But do you have assurance of your relationship with Christ? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Death is an occurrence that each man deems unnatural when related to himself, but natural when related to others. We know the other man's going to die. We know that cancer is going to hit the other person. We know that that other person may die of a heart attack or be in an automobile crash tomorrow, but not me. And we live as though we're going to live like this forever, and we're not. It'll all be over in a short time for everybody here. And you'll be in eternity. Where will you be? Banished from God or with Christ in paradise? The man on the cross that was dying with Jesus was a terrible sinner. He deserved to be crucified. He deserved the punishment according to the law. And he said he deserved it. And he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he said, remember me. He didn't have time to be baptized. He didn't have time to join a church. He didn't have time to do anything except just believe. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Think of it. The first person that Jesus took into paradise with him was that thief, that murderer. That man that deserved hell. But on the cross, Christ was dying for people like him. And Christ was dying for people like you. And the hardest people to reach are not people like him. They know they're sinners. They know they need God. It's people like some of us here tonight, well-dressed. We go to church. We have a little bit of religion. But it's not first in our lives. It's not the major thing in our lives. And we have just enough religion to keep us from getting a real dose of salvation in Christ. You've been inoculated. And you feel that you don't have a spiritual need. What about that person that says that they're happy and got a good income, a good job, a good family, and all the rest? I don't need God. I don't need Christ. What do I need him for? You're going to need him, brother and sister. You're going to need him very badly before very long. You better come now while you have an opportunity. The Bible says now is the accepted day. time. Now is the day of salvation. Come when you can. You can't come to Christ just any time you want to. You can come only when the Holy Spirit has convicted you and drawn you and where the Word of God has been proclaimed. Have you come to Christ? You that are watching by television, pick up the telephone and call that number that you see on the screen. There are counselors standing by to talk to you right now. And if you get a busy signal, call again and again and again and again. They'll be there through the evening to talk to you and to help you. As I said in the beginning, I don't like to speak on this subject, but it's a part of the Bible. And it's an important part of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying these things myself. I'm only passing on to you the teaching of Christ, what Jesus taught. And I do it with a broken heart. I wish there were no such thing as hell, but there is. I wish there were no such thing as sin, but there is. I wish there were no such thing as murders and wars and all that, but there is. And there is a hell. But thank God there's a heaven. There's a paradise. And that's where Jesus is. And I want to tell you tonight, I know that I'm going. The moment you read in the paper that Billy Graham is dead, you'll know that he's more alive than he's ever been before, and I'm in paradise. And I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. There we go. There is a hell, and that is right from Billy Graham. Back in 1983, and he is up in paradise. He's been gone for a while now. He went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. And now Franklin and Will Graham carry the torch for him. But we need more Billy Grahams out there. We need more people. And let me tell you, if you are struggling right now between being a believer and not being a believer, or maybe you're just going through trials and tribulations, let me give you my number. For text of prayer, okay? Let me just go ahead and give it to you, okay, for our ministry line. 817-692-9069. 817-692-9069. Put that on there. That is the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. You can text me a prayer on there or prayer request. Also, guys, feel free. You can email us up here at the station, morningsbrew@gmail.com. morningsbrew@gmail.com. And if you want the Billy Graham number, because we are associated with helping Billy Graham the Crusades out and stuff with his late father, Dr. Graham, let me see if we can get you that phone number. I'm going to fish it up on my computer. Let's see if I've got it. Okay, do I have it? I don't have it. I'm sorry. You go on the computer, findpeacewithgod.net. Findpeacewithgod.net would be the best way to do it. Or, again, 817-692-9069 is our text of prayer number. Or just that, hey, I got saved on the on your network as listening to Dr. Graham. And again, you can email me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Let's lead off in a prayer. What do you say? God is good. He is good. What? All the time. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over, guide, and protect us. Lord, may this message, There is a Hell, back in the 1983 version of Billy Graham, may it touch hearts out there. Maybe someone that doesn't know you will get to know you. And maybe they're struggling right now, and I just pray for peace, and the peace be done through you, through the Holy Spirit, and they get convicted to where they can reach out to somebody like me or my ministry team or iHeartRadio ministry team, whomever they want to reach, maybe a neighbor or whatever, they're here. And we love you and thank you for all you do. In Christ's name we pray in 110% agreement. Amen. Friends, thank you so much. I'm back on the airways. We probably had a little bit of a... We've had fun tonight and everything. I'm getting ready to saddle up. I'm going to leave Faith Studio 1 here in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. It's a gorgeous day. A little cool out here. Normally we're RRing in the mornings. But share this podcast anytime. I don't mind. We're here to love, we're here to serve, and before I saddle up and head out, I just want to tell you, if you're really struggling, and you know, you want to know Jesus, think about it, you don't want to go to hell, You want to go to heaven. You want to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up there, it's the streets of gold, many mansions. I have a place prepared for you. There ain't going to be no hurts. There ain't going to be no cryings. There ain't going to be no aches, no pains, no arthritis issues, no headaches, no cancers, no nothing like that. It's going to be love. You know why? Because the great physician's there. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that put life in my body and put life in your body. I can't just beg and plead with you guys to tell you. If you don't know him, now's the accepted time to know him. Don't reject him. You don't ever want to reject God. When you're rejecting God, you're making a very fatal mistake. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. And as a brother in Christ, I don't know any of you guys out there, but I want to tell you, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for listening to our radio network. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you. Okay? And there's a lot of resources again. 817-692-9069. Text a prayer. Text your testimonies. Whatever it may be, or I got saved by Billy Graham, and give me your name, give me your state, or findpeace.net too, okay? There you go, that, and there's all kinds of resources. Well, y'all have a great Friday evening. Thank you for letting me bring Billy Graham to you and our little bit of entertainment. It's great to be back on the airways, so we appreciate you, and I'm going to saddle up and head out of here. The sun does S-O-N, not the S-U-N. I always say S-O-N. The sun rises on the other side, and I want you to enjoy life. L-I-F-E, explanation point, what? Dot. That's right. This is CA getting ready to sign out. Y'all have a great day. Bye for now.